Praise the Lord. Well, before we go into a sermon today, I want to remind you that if you've got IRS offering that you're giving, to mark that in an envelope for the church to put that for a separate project. And also, this is the Saturday that is the Saturday before the first Sunday, which is the Saturday that the young adults are taking youth. So young adults, make sure to communicate with each other about that. You all have been doing an awesome job, and I know you all will continue. But that's this Saturday night, so go ahead and plan that. Now, you guys usually meet on the first Sunday of every month, but this is Easter Sunday, so you all may want to talk about, you know, that amongst yourself if you want to change the date, that kind of stuff. So I like to delegate and let people make decisions, right? Because if I make all the decisions, it goes crazy, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, we are excited to have Aloy share with us today. He has got a message for us, and I'm looking forward to hearing it. I know he announced a few weeks ago, we do have a sign-up sheet for this Saturday coming up. The church leadership feels very strongly about having a prayer chain, meaning from 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. we're gonna pray. We're gonna have like a sign up. People come in all, so there'll be prayer in this church for 12 hours straight. You all believe in prayer? Amen. Amen. You know, we don't do this often, so please, if you can just sacrifice some time out of your busy schedule and pray. And Eloy will probably touch on that since he's in charge of this. But make sure you participate and pray. I believe in prayer, so we're gonna do that. Praise the Lord. Eloy, come up and let's just receive the word together today. And looks like he's gonna brag about a trophy he got, but we'll just let him.
Backwards this time, we're good? Or still backwards? Oh, man. There? All right. All right. We're good? We're good? All right, there you go. I don't really like the lapel, but I'll try it this morning. All right, with that being said, can we just bow our heads and close our eyes and share the message this morning? Lord, Heavenly Father, God, I thank you, Lord, that you're on the move, Lord. We thank you, Lord, you're already here in this place, Father God. I just pray for myself, you hide me behind your beautiful cross, Lord. And I thank you for what you're doing. We pray all this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Right, what I'm talking about this morning is about standing in the gap. I'm very passionate about this because I know growing up, a lot of people were praying for me. If it wasn't for their prayers, I sure would not be here today. I'm so passionate about this. Because once again, people were praying for me growing up. I can honestly say at a young age, God was pursuing me. He was pursuing me with everything. And that's what I'm talking about this morning, standing in the gap, praying for your children, praying for your lost loved ones. Because you know what? We need someone to stand in the gap. We need someone to intercede when they seem dark and you seem that your children are lost. But I'm here to tell you that God has heard your prayer. He is working it out. The Bible says that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. My first scripture, my foundational scripture this morning, is 2 Chronicles chapter 7. Second Chronicles chapter 7, starting in verse 11. When Solomon had finished the temple of the Lord and the royal palace and had succeeded in carrying all he had in mind to do in the temple of the Lord and in his own palace, the Lord appeared to him at night and said, I have heard your prayer and have chosen this place for myself as a temple for sacrifices. When I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain or command locusts to devour the land or send a plague among my people, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. Amen. You know, we know we need to intercede. We need to pray for our nation. We need to pray that God will have mercy. Because you all know everything is going on around the world, the young people and the school shootings. And I think about it, it's like, if the church would pray for their communities, for God's protection. Yes, they're trying to get God out of the schools. It's sad to say that's where we live at, society. That's where we're at. That's where we're at today. But I never forgot this story about these two young men. And I was at a youth camp. This pastor shared about these two young men that said, you know what? We're going to pray for our school. And they would faithfully pray, two young men. They would pray for the school to just pray and pray. And one day, as students were walking in, that the presence of God hit that school. And students were on their knees praying and crying, not knowing why. And then before you know it, it triggered to the teachers. They were crying, not knowing why. Because two young men said upon themselves, no matter what, we're going to pray for our school. A revival hit that school. I never forgot that story. Because thank God I'm helping out there at the school. We're leading FCA. And I think about, like, what happened one day in the community of Donald or some school here in the valley? All of a sudden, you see just people, kids falling on their knees, not knowing why. Because people are praying. People are seeking God. We need a move of God. We need revival. But revival starts with us first. We cry out for revival, but it starts with us first. It says, if my people, not the world, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then I'll hear from heaven and heal the land. We need God to intervene. We need a move of God. I've experienced God at my former church. I've experienced God. His presence at Bible school. And I long for a day that, you know, we just come into church, all of a sudden people are crying, not even having worship, all of a sudden the presence of God hits this place, not knowing why. But I'm here to tell you because of the presence of God. We need a move of God. We need to wake up. But you know what's going to happen? If we humble ourselves. Remember when I was in Puerto Rico, my church, we went on a church camp, or actually missions work, for a week. And you see how Benny Hinn, you know, like this famous evangelist people know about. It doesn't even touch people and they're all falling. I'm like, whatever, right? Man, but that happened to us. They had a word for us. And they weren't even praying for us. All of a sudden, we were just falling under the power of God. And I never forgot that night. It was amazing. Because when the presence of God hits, you know God's in the house. But the way this is going to happen is by praying and seeking God. We need young people to get a hold of God. Not only experience God, but to encounter His presence. Because when people experience His presence, encounter His presence, they'll never be the same. 2 Chronicles 16, verse 9. Verse 9, for the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to Him. There's a key word there, whose hearts are fully committed to him. You've done a foolish thing, and from now on you will be at war. For the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is looking from heaven. Psalms 53, verse 1. Psalms 53, starting in verse 1.
The fool says in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt and their ways are vile. There is no one who does good. God looks down from heaven on all mankind. To see if they are one of them. Any who see God, anyone has turned away, all have become corrupt. There is no one who does good, not even one. So all of you
All right. Okay, there we go. I tried, but I don't think I'm fit for that stuff. Psalms 46, verse 10. Here we go. The Word of God reads, he says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations, and I'll be exalted in the earth. I shared this with the prayer, I mean, with the Bible study on Tuesday night. I mean, for me, being still is, it's tough. I like to hear noise. But, you know, the Bible says to be still and know that He is God. You know, I'm just one of those persons that just, I can't be still, okay? What is it called, ADHD, where you can't be still? One of those. I always got to be doing something, OCD and all, whatever. Anyways, He says, be still and know that I am God. I'll be exalted among the nations, and I'll be exalted in the earth. To be still before Him. And stand in the gap. When you pray, it's something between you and God. You don't need to tell the whole world what you're doing. God sees what you're doing. God sees your tears. He will carry you through tough times. To be still in His presence. Standing in the gap. James chapter 5. James chapter 5, starting in verse 13. The Word of God reads, is anyone among you in trouble? Let them pray. Is anyone happy? Let them sing songs of praise. Is anyone among you sick? Let them call the elders of the church to pray over them and anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they had sinned, they will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being even as we are. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the land for 3.5 years. Again, he prayed, and the heavens gave rain, and the earth produced its crops. My brothers and sisters, if one of you should wander from the truth and someone should be bringing the person back. Again, verse 16 says, therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. It is his righteousness. Righteousness is right standing before God. He hears our prayers, standing in the gap. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 5. Acts chapter 12, starting in verse 5. Word of God reads. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. The night before Herod was to bring him to trial, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and centurions stood guard at the entrance. Suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared, and a light shone in the cell. He struck Peter on the side and woke him. Quick, get up, he said, and the chains fell off Peter's wrist. Then the angel said to him, put on your clothes and sandals. And Peter did so. Wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And the angel told him. Peter followed him out of the prison, but he had no idea that what the angel was doing was really happening. He thought he was seeing a vision. Then they passed the first and second guard and came to iron gate leading to the city. It opened for them by itself, and they went through it. When they had walked the length of one street, suddenly the angel left them. Verse 11, then Peter came to himself and said, now I know without a doubt that the Lord has sent his angel and rescued me from Herod's clutches and from everything the Jewish people were hoping would happen. The church was standing in the gap. For Peter. Imagine being in a prison and all of a sudden an angel comes and talks to you. That would be kind of weird, wouldn't it? Or you. But it's going back to my standing in the gap. The church, it's our responsibility to pray for our children in our church. It's our responsibility to pray for our families. It's our responsibility as a church. Enough is enough. The Bible says that the devil comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But God comes to bring life and bring it more abundantly. We've lost too many young people in this church. When Elias was my youth pastor, it was two or three of us who was faithfully coming to service. And I thank you for that. But where are the rest of the... Joe was part of the youth group, and he's still here. Then another generation came. Another generation came. Where are they at now? It hurts because when you spend time with them, you pray for them. When you pray for them, tears, that they get a hold of God. But God gives us a free will. And God will not intervene in them. But as a church, it's our responsibility to pray. And I thank God for Pastor Green and Sister Green. They never gave up on me. Standing in the gap. Praying for our children. Because you know the enemy doesn't play fair. He attacks the children. He attacks the youth. But it's our responsibility to pray for our children. Our young people. I remember when I started ministry, I started with Royal Rangers Children's Ministry. I was having a hard time. They were running all over the place, being children, right? I'm here, hey, you need to sit down. You need to listen. Running around, right? It's like, oh, my God, what did I get myself into, right? And then all of a sudden, I'm never going to forget, one kid hit the ground on his knees. Before you know it, they were all on their knees crying. The presence of God hit that room. One of the parents came afterwards, we're picking up, and the kids were still crying. So what happened? Well, the presence of God hit the place. It was just beautiful. I just go back in my life and times I spent with God, and it's just amazing. The ones that know me, I grew up in this town riding my bike around this community, and I see where God's taking me, and it's just amazing. Because I know people were praying for me. They were standing in the gap, mentioning my name to God, praying for me. And I know God had his hand upon my life. My grandparents raised me 2 months old. They didn't go to church, but I went for some reason. At the time, I don't know why. I was going to the Catholic church, and poor teachers had to put up with me. I was putting me in time out. Maybe that's why the way the kids are with me now, right? Pain. No, but it was something in me that I know it's from God, going to church and ended up here, Pastor Green, Sister Green. And I stayed here probably was like 10, 11 on when I started coming to this church. But there was a point in my life that I had to make a decision. Yeah, I'll come to church, but playing the church game, it gets old after a while. But I remember having a conversation with my mom and over the phone.
I had this question growing up, you know, because my grandparents wouldn't share much about my upbringing as far as my parents. And I had that question growing up that I didn't know if my parents were married. So I asked my mom when she called out of nowhere, because my mom would be random, just call me out of nowhere growing up and come and visit at random times. But anyways, I asked my mom, like, the question I had is, Mom, are you and Dad married? She's like, no, mijo, we're not. I guess it was like their common law. So I made a statement. I said, Mom, so what? Am I a mistake? She's like, no, mijo, you're not. And like whatever. I just hung up because I got upset. Anyways, and several weeks passed, and we're coming to church still. And I came up for church. I came to church, yes, obviously. I came up for prayer, and Sister Green, I remember that I was standing right here. Sister Green came and prayed for me. You're not a mistake. She had no idea about the conversation I had with my mom. That God sees you like a trophy, precious in his eyes, set apart to him. God sees me like a trophy. Special to him. And don't worry about your family. God's watching over them. I would worry about my family. Still praying. It meant a lot. My cousin came and visited me last night. It meant a lot to me. And her kids. My nieces and my nephew. I love family. That God sees me like a trophy. That God was really knocking in my heart. My God, you love me so much, because that summer, I think I was that summer, yeah. June 18 of 2000, I made the best decision I made in my life. I remember going up to, it was at the island, summer camp. God, you love me so much that you brought a group from Ireland. I had to raise over thousands of dollars easily to get a hold of me. And I look back at my life, times I've experienced God. And something amazing happened this past summer, picking up my brother Mark from Donna North. It was a call I'm never going to forget. That they were looking for us in regards to my mom. I found her. Something that's very dear to my heart. Thank God for Nelda and Raymond, for the family. I know it sounds like a broken record, but I appreciate you guys. Little sis. Mark, here's Raymond. Pastors, leadership of this church, Joseph, Michelle. Because I'll come in Tuesdays and I said, pray for my mom. I want to find her. I found her. Standing in the gap, I was praying for my mom for a long time. I held on. Prayer is powerful. Yes, it takes years sometimes. God's timing is perfect. Show this picture. Can you please show that picture, please? I never thought that they would come. That I'd be praying for my mom. There it is, with a family, praying for her. This last time was hard. It was hard. Keep me in your prayers. It's harder than I thought.
said to Raymond and Nelda and the kids, thank you all for understanding. Because I don't know what life my mom has lived. But God is so merciful. I thank God that I got a hold of it, because I don't know where I would be today. I don't know where I would be today. I'm going to play this song. Once the song ends, I want the young people to come up. I want Joseph to come because God's given me a word for you, brother. But after this song, I just want you to listen to the lyrics. That I want the young people to come. It'll be an honor for me to pray for you.